نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We have discussed in the last period the mindset amongst the Hindus and their concept of a bride, how she must just like sacrifice herself now for her husband and her in-laws, etc. So much so that if the husband has to predecease her, the husband dies before her, then she either got the choice of getting cremated with him, she's alive, and they burn her alive with him, right? Or she must just live a life after that of loneliness. She doesn't ever marry again, and she must just serve her in-laws' family, right? So, alhamdulillah, amongst us believers, we don't have this type of situation where if a husband passes away, we tell the wife, now you also get buried with him, right? We don't have this. However, as I said to you, because we come from that mentality, so the badbu, the stench of those Hindu customs, a lot of times keep rearing its head in our lives. So although we don't find this type of situation where a woman is told now she must kill herself, but what we do find is that when a lady gets married, now she is expected to be a slave. If the mother-in-law is getting visitors, now the daughter-in-law must cook and make rotis and do this and do that. They'll give the daughter-in-law 10 things to do, and the daughter, you just make a salad and come. You just make one dessert and come. You like to make that one dessert, bring, make that dessert and come. Right? You know, there was once a lady, she's talking to her friend, right? So the friend is asking her, that, hey, how's your daughter-in-law? Because her son had just got married. So, hey, how's the daughter-in-law? Like, how's the daughter-in-law in the house? So she said, oh man, you know, today's girls, they're so lazy, man. This one, she only wants to wake up at 9 o'clock, and she doesn't want to cook, and she don't want to do this, and she don't want to do that, and weekend come, she only wants to go eat in the takeaway. And you know, all complaints like this she is giving about the daughter-in-law. Then this lady asks her, hey, how's your daughter, man? The one got married last year, your daughter got married, how's she? She's staying nicely. So now this lady is responding. She says, hey man, what a wonderful son-in-law we got. You know, my son-in-law, he tells my daughter, no, you must only wake up 9 o'clock. And he doesn't make her cook rotis, they buy it from the shop. You know, samosas, pies, they got one lady who fills it and all that. And Friday after lunch, the kitchen is closed. For the whole weekend, the kitchen is closed. He buys her for her takeaway and takes her to the restaurant. So this is the mentality amongst our people. This is the mentality that a daughter-in-law must slave. Daughter-in-law must work. If the daughter-in-law doesn't, if she got a headache or something, it's not a reason for her not to work. But if the daughter got a small problem, she must relax, she must rest. And what becomes even worse is that the daughter wants to go shopping. Right? Daughter wants to go shopping. She's going to come and fetch the mother, and they both going to go shopping. The children must stay at home with the daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law must stay at home and look after the children. Right? Sometimes what happens is, the daughter-in-law now, she's staying with the in-laws, right? She's staying with the mother-in-law and the father-in-law. And the daughter is married, she's living with her husband, they got their own house, they're living somewhere, but in the same town. Now she is getting visitors. She's getting visitors. Now she phones her mother. Oh, mommy, you know, getting visitors, and all of a sudden last minute and this and that. Now the mother will say, No, don't worry, I'll cook for you. How many visitors coming? I'll make the roti, I'll do this, I'll do that. Right? Now she wakes the daughter-in-law up. Come, we got work to do now. Now, is it the daughter-in-law's duty and responsibility to be cooking and feeding the guests of her sister-in-law? Now, because the mother-in-law wants to do it for her daughter, now it becomes the daughter-in-law's problem. Right? So these things are rife in our families. Alhamdulillah, to a large extent, it is also coming, right? But it is still there in many, many families. In many families, it is still there. This is why the best is when you are getting married, you move out on your own. That is the best. And this is advice Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali gave in his zamana. Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, in his zamana, he gave this advice that it is best for husband and wife to go and live on their own. Just remember something. You as a husband, you will understand your wife's situation. Right? And the wife will understand the husband's situation. But the mother-in-law is not going to understand it. Now, for example, you were not feeling too well at night. Right? You couldn't fall off to sleep. So you kept her up. She's pressing your head. You had fever. She's nursing you. Then when your fever went down, then all of a sudden you were feeling hungry. She went and made one tea and brought some biscuit for you and all that. So you only went to sleep 12 o'clock. Right? Now your mother and father don't know all that. They are sleeping. They are having a good sleep. Right? Now you got no children, nothing. You have to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. You have to leave home. Right? Now you'll wake up for Fajr. After Fajr, you tell her. You know that she's tired. You know what happened last night. So you tell her that, hey, you know what? Don't worry. I had the tea midnight and all that. Plus, my stomach is still not feeling too good, so I'm not going to have any breakfast. Right? When I go to work, I'll see maybe a little later, about 10 o'clock or something. I'll just have a cup of tea or something. But you rather have a rest. Right? Because tonight, we got Dawood there by my friend's house. And, you know, last night now was a late night. So you rather have a rest today. So when I come from work later, then we'll go for the Dawood. Right? Now this is an arrangement between you and your wife. You understand why she's sleeping. In fact, you're happy that she's sleeping. Now, your mother's sister phones during the day. And your wife just woke up from her sleep now. About 8:30, 9 o'clock she woke up. You've gone to work already. Now your mother thinks that daughter-in-law is sleeping. Right? And now her sister phones. Now she's talking to her sister. Ay, Sadi, you know, she doesn't even wake up to see her husband goes off to work. She doesn't even give my child a cup of tea in the morning. They're so lazy, these people. Now she's talking like this. And the daughter is overhearing this whole thing. Now she's highly upset. And rightfully so. Now when you come home, now she's pulled up. Now you thinking to yourself, oh, I let you sleep, I let you rest. Now because I've got a doubt by my friend's house, now you all pulled up and fussed up here. And if she has to complain to you about your mother, makes matters worse now. Because no son wants to hear bad things about their mother. So this is why, if you're living on your own, you don't have all these complications. Between husband and wife, they'll argue today, they'll be taking off on one another and everything. By tonight, they're best friends again. Then for 2 weeks, they're going well. The third week, they'll have one heavy argument again. They'll come right again, they'll carry on. But if your mother and father heard the argument, between the husband and wife, they'll have the worst of argument. Nobody else knows about it. They'll sort it out and they'll carry on with their lives. But as soon as the third party hears it now, now it becomes a big thing. Now it becomes a big thing. Or somebody else came to hear about it now. Until nobody else knows about it, they'll sort it out between themselves. He'll bring on chocolate and come home in the evening and give her finished story over. She'll melt quicker than the chocolate melts in the sun. Story's over. But now once his mother heard the argument and she told him one, two heavy things and all, now she'll want to phone this girl's mother or this girl's sister and complain, your daughter's tongue is 1 mile long and this story and that story. That all just complicates matters. And if we are going to live together, if you're going to live together, it can work. It works in many homes also. But the mother-in-law has to be very, very accommodating. Her Islam must be made. And she must not be a person who is going to pass her work on to her daughter-in-law. They must have a good understanding, then it can work. But 90% don't work, if not 95. Right? It doesn't work. And especially when they're sisters. When they're sisters, it just compounds the problem. Because the mother, this poor daughter-in-law, will be serving her every day. The sister will come, the daughter of that house now, she'll come school holiday time with her children to come and visit. Now the mother gangs up with her daughters against the daughter-in-law. It's a normal thing. So these things just create complications, cause a lot of problem. So as far as possible, you must try to live on your own. And if you cannot live on your own, and you're living within a house, as far as possible, you must try and separate the house. If you can separate the house, even better. And if you can't separate the house, then all I can say to you is you need very broad shoulders. Then you must be a master. You must be able to know how to pacify your mother also, and how to pacify your wife also. You see, your mother comes complaining about your wife, you must listen very, very attentively. Very attentively you must listen. But listen to everything. Gee, mommy, you know, I'll talk to her, don't worry, I'll sort it out. Your wife comes complaining about your mother, you must listen very, very attentively. She did that, actually. Yeah. You just kept quiet, you didn't say anything. No, I kept quiet, I didn't say, oh. No, don't worry. I'll sort it out. You just carry on saying you sort it out. You must be like a buffer. You must take from this side, take from that side. You mustn't try to sort anything out. You must never ever think that you're going to be able to go to your mother and put her right, or go to your wife and put her right. It won't work. You will only make the matter worse. You must just keep on telling your wife, you know what, never mind, you know she's old now, you don't say anything. Whatever happens, you tell me, I'll sort it out with her. You don't say nothing. You don't spoil your mouth and all that now. I'm the son, I will go and tell her. And whenever your mother complains, you just take it. When you go in the room and your wife asks you, what your mother was talking with you so long? You know, she says she got a best daughter-in-law. She couldn't have asked for more. What a wonderful daughter-in-law you are. That's how you have to pacify both sides. You lie to your mother that your wife is praising her. You lie to your wife that your mother is praising her. And you take whatever your mother says, you take it inside, you keep it. Whatever your wife says, you take it inside, you keep it. You must be able to handle the situation. If you handle the situation right, you'll be able to carry on nicely. Now one fellow gave one story. He says that on his wedding night, he kept one small kitten, you know, in the room. First night, So in the night now, the kitten is making a noise, no? Baby kitten make a noise. So he woke up, said, what's this noise? Now the thing will keep quiet because Jia's voice is not keep quiet. He went to sleep again. Again the thing making noise. Third time the thing making noise. So he woke up, looking around, he found the kitten. Took the kitten, made zaba of it one time, threw out the window. Say, this is what I do. This is what I do on the third time, you know. Somebody troubles me first time, I say okay. Second time I tolerate. Third time I make zaba. Finish. So now they lived happily ever after, you know. But now the ladies then, they got wise. They say, no, this thing can't work out like this. So one lady got married. So she told her husband, they went for honeymoon now to one resort. So the husband, no, let's go horse riding, you know, go horse riding. So they went. So quietly she whispered to that fellow who gonna saddle the horse. I want the most untamed horse here, most bucky horse. Give me that horse. So they gave her the horse. So they went riding. Husband doesn't know what's happening. So as they're riding, this horse bucked, you know, it's getting stubborn. So she said, that's the first time. And they carried on. This thing bucked again. So that's the second time. Then that thing bucked again. She stopped. She dismounted. She took out one revolver. Shot the horse dead. Now the husband, what you mean you shot the horse? That's your first time. So all these things won't work, right? All these things won't work. The only thing that will work is sabr, tolerance, love, hikmat. That will work. You think you want to make iron fist here and I wear the pants here and that's my mother, you don't talk like that, you know. Won't work. Right? That will only break your mother also and break her also. Right? So the way to handle it is, you show your mother the utmost respect. Right? Tomorrow you go on shopping with your wife. You say, you know, my mother likes the chocolate, man. You buy the chocolate, you pay for it, everything. You give it to your wife. Hey, when you go home, give it to mommy. Eh? Now she will go give your mother the chocolate. Now your mother is, my daughter-in-law bought chocolate for me. Like, you know, I'm shouting her from morning and she bought a chocolate for me. Eh? Come eat day, you take your mother, you know your wife likes, she wanted that one sandal or one shoe or something, you buy it. Give it to your mother. Say, mommy, no, man, you give her eat present, man, from your side now. Now your mother will go give her that sandal, eat present. Your wife is thrown up. Only for 1 week, but it's okay. At least 1 week, peace. Right? But what will happen is, with the passage of time, they both will learn to like one another. Initial days, they won't. With the passage of time, both of them will learn to like one another and the problems will get less. Problems will get less. Won't get totally sorted out. You see, those of you that got sisters at home, doesn't your mother and sister also have it out? Mother and sister too have it out. Right? Those of your mothers that got sisters, don't they have it out also amongst them? Sisters, they have it out sometime. Some argument, something. Right? So it's a normal thing. It's a woman's story, it carries on. Right? But the thing is that, if the mother shouts the daughter, the daughter will get upset and all that, for 1 day, 2 days, then it will come right, because that's my mother. Right? If the sisters have it out amongst themselves, yeah, they'll fight, argue, everything, but at the end of the day, we sisters will carry on. But when the mother shouts the daughter-in-law, now big problem. Your mother shouted me. Why? Because we don't grow up with this mindset that my mother-in-law is also my mother. Right? And it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing. Now that lady gets very upset. Who's your mother to shout me? My mother never spoke to me like this. But her mother too shouted her. Her mother shouted her. Her mother doesn't shout her anymore because she's not at home. So she forgot all the shouting her mother gave her. And now because the mother-in-law told her 10% of what her mother normally used to tell her, but she gets so upset. So it's on both sides. Now who's right and who's wrong? If you try to figure that thing out, hey Baba, that is like, you know, you got laddu. You know laddu. Laddu, you know how they make it. They have a pan with holes, right? Or a lid or something with holes. And they have a mix, right, on the top. So it falls, it's individual pieces like this, right? It comes down. Then they take those individual pieces and they make it into a ball, right? Now after it's made into a ball, can you separate those individual pieces? You can't. Problem between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, you can never figure it out. It's like a laddu ball. Don't think you're going to figure out and see who was right on this occasion, who was wrong. Who, one for you, one for me. Right. You wrong there, you right. No. Always remember this. You respect your mother, no matter what she says about your wife. And don't go tell your wife. Don't go tell your wife. You're only going to make the matter worse. Your wife doesn't need to know. What she don't know, don't hurt. Why must tell her? So whatever your mother said, this, that, yeah, mommy, no, don't worry, mommy. I'll sort it out. Now what your mother is complaining, I'm going old now, I got arthritis. She's not even helping in the kitchen. So you tell your mommy, no, mommy, don't worry, I'll sort it out. Now you go in the kitchen, you go in the room, your wife is telling you, you know, I woke up so early. I did this, I did that. And then your mother still says that I'm not helping in the kitchen. Yeah. All those things. Oh, you give her one hug. All so much work you did today. All right, never mind. Don't work yourself up. You know, you must be tired now. Relax, come. Let me put some oil for you in your hair. You know. Relax. Show her muhabbat. Show her love. Show her muhabbat. But then you must know how to sort the problem out. Now, before you leave next morning, you know what, man? I'm feeling for that chicken, man. You know that other chicken you made that other week? Yeah, I really enjoyed that thing, right? Now, I don't want my mother to make it, man. I want to eat your hand food. Now, she is thrown up now. He likes my hand food, like, you know. Say, please, man, you organize the chicken today. Mommy comes in the kitchen and all, tell her, you know what? Take a rest today, you cooking. Now she will cook very, very enthusiastically. Everything she will do it. Right? She'll cook the meal, make the rotis, the salad, everything. She sorted the thing out, hundreds. What your mother is thinking? Hey, my son sorted out. My son sorted out. Noah, she's working now. She's cooking here. See, in Gujarati they say, Samp mare, lati na tute. Lati na tute. Samp mare, lati na tute. What it means? The snake must die. The snake must die, but the stick mustn't break. The stick you're using to kill the snake, you don't break the stick now, but you need to kill the snake. So there's a problem here. There's a tension between mother and daughter-in-law. Your mother and your wife, there is a tension. You need to get rid of the tension. Right? How you get rid of the tension? You need to be smart. You can't go there all guns blazing and say, about mommy, but she made this and that and that, and you still think she's lazy and no, it's not right. Now your mother will say, oh, I'm going to see how you're going to die with the man. You're giving preference to your wife over your mother? all these years I changed your nappy and I brought you up and everything, and now this woman just came here 6 months and you're taking her part over me. And if you try the other style and you go and tell your wife, oh, so you can't stand up for me by your mother. You don't love me. You're in a catch 22. You think marriage is a walk in a park. Wait till you get married. It is a walk in a jungle. Along the way you find couple roses. But it's a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's an ibadat. It is an ibadat. Understand? So you need to know how to handle a situation. You can't be immature. You can't go to try and sort out the problem in an immature way. You say, no, I'm going to take the bull by the horns here. I'm going to sort this thing out. Sit my mother down here, sit my wife down there, and sort this thing out. So who's telling lies here now? No, it don't work that way. You have to just become a bigger liar. But the lies you're going to talk is permissible. The lies you're going to talk is permissible. And you see, when your mother is saying something, she's not lying. And when your wife is saying something also, she's not lying. Both of them are telling the truth. It's how they see the story. It's not that one is lying about the other. It's how they interpreting the story. You see, one day in the majlis, I picked up one book. Now this book here is same color. See this book here now. Right? So I picked up one kitab. I said, tell me what color is this book?
Green.
So I say green, right? So I said, no. Something wrong with your eyes. This kitab is white. So there is no, kitab is green. I said, no, the kitab is white. So I turned the kitab around. I said, now what color is the kitab? I said, no, kitab is green. See, it just depends how you looking at it. It depends how you looking at it. That's all. So your wife is looking at it her way. Your mother will look at it her way. None of them are lying. You need to look at it in a way, how am I going to bring peace? So you do whatever it takes to bring peace. Whether you have to make a plan this way, make a plan that way, tell one story this way, that way, whatever. But you bring the peace. That's all. And if you do this for at least a year, 2 years, you'll find that they're okay, they come right. After they come right, then you got a problem. They both gang up against you. But that's okay. That's all right. So we'll stop here. In the next period, we are going to discuss the reality of a true soul. Where does this true soul thing fit in Islam? Allah give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته